My dearly beloved, we have today on the first Sunday of Lent the gospel narrative of our Lord's fast for 40 days in the desert before he began his public life. And this was a strict fast in which, during which our Lord had nothing whatsoever to eat for an entire period of 40 days and 40 nights. And then we read that at the conclusion, or towards the conclusion of this 40 days fast, the devil came to tempt our Lord. That, of course, is surprising to us that our Lord would be tempted by the devil. And obviously it was because the devil did not know that Jesus was the Son of God, that our Lord was divine, because it would have been utterly impossible for our Lord to sin, for our Lord to offend his heavenly Father. Completely impossible. Nevertheless, our Lord willed to be tempted by the devil, perhaps to give us encouragement in our temptations. It reminds us of the words of St. Paul, that Jesus was like us in all things except sin. Our Lord could not sin, but in every other way, he was like us, even to the point of undergoing these temptations. We find that the devil tempted our Lord in three different ways. The first temptation was to change stones into bread in order to satisfy his hunger. The second temptation was that the devil took our Lord to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to throw himself down and trust that his heavenly Father would send angels to rescue him before he would be crushed on the ground, to rescue him, and an appeal to pride. The third temptation was that the devil took our Lord to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "All of these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." A temptation to avarice and to have the things of the world and power and influence and material things. We see in these three temptations the three categories of temptation by which the devil tempts every man. St. John refers to them when he says in his epistle, one of his epistles, "Everything that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh and the concupiscence of the eyes and the pride of life." First of all, the concupiscence of the flesh indicates every sort of temptation to bodily comfort and enjoyment, to give in to our bodily appetites and passions in a way other than that which is governed by the will of God. And this would include all forms of temptation to gluttony, to intemperance, to lust, to sloth and bodily ease and comfort. All of these would come under that one heading of concupiscence of the flesh. The second category or area of temptations would come under the heading of avarice. The third temptation of our Lord was the devil showing our Lord the kingdoms of the world and said, "All of these will I give you if you worship me." And how many people fall into that particular type of temptation? They spend their time seeking after material things and worldly enjoyments and fame and popularity, power and influence, things that the world has to offer, the concupiscence of the eyes. And finally, we have the third type, the pride of life, which was indicated in the second temptation when the devil told our Lord to cast himself off the temple, and surely God would send his angels to rescue him. So this was a temptation of presumption, but also pride. The devil saying, "Look at what people would be thinking, how they would be impressed. You would gain so many followers, you would gain such a following by this stupendous miracle, by being rescued miraculously." And of course, our Lord overcame these temptations by quoting Scripture, pointing out, not only to the devil, but to us through the Scripture narrative, of how clever and deceitful the devil is. St. Paul, in one of his epistles, refers to the devil disguising himself as an angel of light. The devil, in his temptations, will often make it sound as something good. And in this clever way, he seeks to lead us astray. I read an interesting story about St. Vincent Ferrer. St. Vincent Ferrer was a Spanish Dominican, a great preacher in the latter part of the 14th century and into the 15th century. And St. Vincent Ferrer, as a young Dominican, was one evening praying when the devil appeared in front of him. But it wasn't an ugly devil. The devil was disguised as an early monk, as one of the early fathers, the early holy people who lived as hermits or monks in the desert. And the devil said to him, "In my youth, I was very careless and sinful, but on reaching old age, I began to think and prepare for death. I repented and am now in heaven. I advise you to do as I did. You are still a young man. Go and enjoy the pleasures of the world. Then when you see the day of death approach, begin to lead a life of penance. God is so good that he will readily pardon you. And when you die, the Lord will take you to heaven to enjoy unending delights in the company of the angels and of so many others who were once sinners as I was, but who are now glorious saints." Saint Vincent realized that the person before him was not one of the blessed, but that it was the devil in the disguise of a saint. At once Saint Vincent cried out, "Begone, Satan! I have consecrated to God my youth as well as my old age, because I wish to give him my entire life." Seeing himself discovered, Satan fled. But you see, Satan always comes disguised in the appearance of good. Satan doesn't come, so to speak, as a devil when he tempts, but rather he comes under the guise of good. And he is very clever in his temptations. We need to be always vigilant. We need to be on our guard against the wiles and the snares of the devil. Once again, St. Paul pulled the mask off the devil when he told the Christians of Corinth, "Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And so he tempts us in ways by which he tries to disguise evil under the appearance of good. He calls lust love. He calls stealing getting what belongs to you. He calls pride accepting your rights. He calls doubt using your own head. He calls disobedience independence. He has a fine-sounding name, we might say, for every kind of evil and every kind of vice. So let us be on our guard against the tempter. Let us take courage from the example of our Lord in allowing himself to be tempted, to realize that no temptation, however strong or however often repeated, how often soever it is repeated, that no temptation is of itself a sin. And that by resisting temptation, not only do we not sin, but we gain merit. It reminds me of the example of St. John Vianney, who utterly confounded the devil. And the devil, when a big sinner was going to be coming to confession the next day, the devil would particularly torment St. John Vianney that night. And he would make all kind of sounds so that St. John Vianney would not be able to sleep. And he would try to torment him. And St. John Vianney would overcome these distractions. He would offer up this inconvenience. And then there were special graces that were granted in his hearing of confessions the next day. And so the devil was utterly confounded. If he didn't try and distract him and allowed him to get his small amount of sleep, he knew he would be capable of fulfilling his duty the next day. But if he tormented him, the saint would offer that up and there would be even more graces the next day. And so realize when the devil tempts you in one way, it is a good sign. Because it shows that you are striving to live your faith and he wants to pull you away from that. And he is angry. But by fighting off the temptations, overcoming them, you gain merit, you grow closer to Almighty God. Let us then take this courage from the example of our Lord and be on our guard against temptations and faithfully resist every temptation by having immediate recourse to prayer, by practicing penance, especially during Lent, devout use of the sacraments, and always being on guard against the tempter, the enemy of our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.